Hello and welcome to Comic Talk Today for Thursday, October 11th, 2018. And this is a special episode in which I do not appear. And you're thinking, but Martin, you're in the intro, and yes, I'm going to introduce this episode. I've been really busy, so Ronnie took some time off, got in touch with Cullen Bunn. Together they recorded an awesome show talking about all the projects Cullen's got coming out, including the brand new Kickstarter, which I'm really excited for. I hope you'll check that out. Cullen also talks about some Halloween traditions, favorite Halloween movies. Great discussion. Without further ado, here's Ronnie and Cullen.
Comic Talk Today, Therapy Thursday. I'm Ronnie. I'm not Martin. He's had a rough week, so I'm filling in. And I have Mr. Comic Extraordinaire. It's October, so that means that it is Spook Month, right? So who better else to get than Cullen Bunn?
Hey, Ronnie. How are you?
All right. Long time no see. It's like a couple weekends ago we had Cave Con.
I was going to say, didn't I just see you last week or something?
Yeah. I should be like the Creeper or something. That should be, it's like Dennis called me Ronnie the Bear, right? I should be Ronnie the Creeper.
I think Ronnie the Bear may be better. I don't know. They're both kind of equally creepy. So.
But, so yes, on here on the Nerdy Legion Network, you and Dennis have the audio version of Missouri Swagger.
Yes, that's right.
And Cave Con was a couple weekends ago, and when I talked to you, you were exhausted. So now that you have like a week to recover, how do you still feel the same way? Everything went awesome?
Yeah, it was I'm still exhausted. I am. I'm as exhausted as I could possibly be, and I just today did sort of an assessment of how many pages I have to write a day for the next 2 weeks to get caught up after CaveCon.
Oh.
And it's a scary number. I have yet to recover from CaveCon. It was fun. It was worth it in terms of, you know, it was a great event, mm-hmm. but man, am I tired.
Yeah. You were, cause I seen you, well, throughout the day, both Saturday and Sunday, but you were running and gunning most of the days.
Yeah. There's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more to do when it comes to putting on a convention than I probably realized. It was just a lot of work. I mean, to make it all run smoothly, I started running, Friday, mm-hmm. and I didn't stop until, you know, late Sunday night.
Yeah, wee
and,
hours.
And not only Sunday. That, I had, yeah, and I had, you know, I had a house guest the entire week, so you know it was an awesome week, mm-hmm. in terms of getting to hang out with great people and see friends and hosting this convention and seeing friends there. But man, you know, I get it now. I get how tough it can be.
Yeah. So was there the announcement, the official announcement for Graveyard Slaughter?
You know, I don't know I think we've mentioned it before, but that's as close to an official now, you know, during the convention, we had, essentially everybody involved on the project was here. Mm-hmm. So we did a group shot, and I think, Kevin Watkins, who's kind of running the show when it comes to Graveyard Slaughter, posted that. So I think that's as close to an official announcement as we've gotten.
Right. You want to talk a little bit about that? Give me the premises on that.
Yeah. So Graveyard Slaughter is, I guess it's the second project from Kevin Watkins' Lunchbox Press. The first thing he did, was a comic that he and Adam McLaughlin did together. And, it's called, Listen to the Thunder, which is a great werewolf comic. If you haven't read it, I think it's on Comixology, so you can read it there. It's a terrific comic that they put together and ran on Kickstarter a couple of years ago. Graveyard Slaughter is sort of a horror anthology that Kevin put together, and he gathered a group of creators here in the area, and almost all of us are from the Springfield area. One person is not, but basically it's sort of a throwback to 80s, the kind of horror story you might have rented at a a video store in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's you know, they're all you know, it's there's four horror stories. I've written two of them, and Kevin wrote two of them, and we've got some just some awesome artists drawing them. We've got you know, Adam McLaughlin, Blackie Shepherd, Gary Bedell, and the great Javier Salteres all drawing these stories for us. And it's something we've actually been working on it for a little while, sort of on the side, and it's kind of at the point now where it's ready to, it's pretty close to launching. I would have probably launched it on Kickstarter already, because it's, as you know, like I said, it's as close to being done as it can be. But Kevin's kind of getting a few more ducks in a row, and then we're going to launch that on Kickstarter as well, or he's going to launch it on Kickstarter.
Okay, cool. And so that'll be hopefully out pretty soon, so we can back that too.
Yeah. I think it'll, and like I said, I think it'll be a pretty cool book. You know, I wrote two stories. One drawn by Gary Bedell, and one drawn by Javier Salteres. Yeah. So
that was the one that the last time we recorded and chatted that for Ultimate Marvel that you and Javier were doing the book.
Yeah, I might have hinted at that one during that call for sure. Yeah, that's the and Javier and I have talked about doing some more stuff together, but this was the, you know, this was the start of it.
Right. Yeah, which is awesome because he's one of the forgotten greats, I think, or the underrated ones. Kind of like how maybe Phil Hester and Lee Weeks have gotten their resurgence here lately. I think Javier definitely deserves that here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's an amazing talent, and he's just I agree. He gets overlooked, I think, a lot, but he's really just such a. First of all, he's a wonderful person, but also right. he's a huge talent.
And he didn't pay us to say that, so.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
So speaking of Kickstarter, this week started your new Kickstarter, which is A Passage in Black.
Yep. Yeah, we launched a Passage in Black, which is another horror anthology. It's a little bigger than Graveyard Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a collection of 11 stories. All of them are based on short prose stories that I've written, but they're all adapted by other creators, other writers and other artists who've kind of brought them together in this really, it's just such a cool addition. It's such a neat book, because you get to see so many different artists and different writers and different approaches to horror and different styles of horror all in one title. And it's to some degree, it's a little bit of a throwback to the kind of horror anthology comics and magazines I loved when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But all featuring, you know, these stories that are based on my work.
Yeah. So you're like the main director, basically, right?
Yeah. You know, I gave these stories out to the writers, you know, starting with the writers that were going to adapt them. And I told them, you know, here are my short stories, but please, you know, make them your own. Don't feel like you're beholden to anything that I've written so far. These are your stories. And it's kind of neat to see how they took them and, you know, they did their own thing in terms of pacing, and they kind of focused on things that I might not have focused on in the stories. And it's really cool to see these, you know, they're very different takes, even though they're based on my work. It's obvious that, you know, they did things and they made choices that were not the same choices I would have made if I was adapting them. And that's what I like about it.
So did one person in particular get her pick of which one she wanted to do?
All right, so you're asking if Cindy, if the great Cindy Bunn got her pick?
Yeah.
No, I picked the stories for everybody, including Cindy. And I tried to pick stories that I thought for each creator. I tried to pick a story that I thought would be right for them. So I did pick the story I picked for Cindy is a story called Why Sing the Sirens. And I just thought it'd be the right story for her to adapt. Now she tells me that that would have been the story she would have picked anyway.
Oh.
If she had the choice. But no, I picked everything for everybody. Not even Cindy got first pick of the stories.
Well, I just didn't want you to eat, you know, fish sticks for supper one night or something.
No. she accepted the story I chose for her. It's her first comic work, and she did a great job on it.
So,
and it doesn't hurt, you know, she has Baldemar Rivas is drawing her, drew her story.
Right.
So, I think back and I'm like, well, wow, you know, I wish Baldemar Rivas had drawn my first comic book story. It's nothing against, I don't know who, you know, I think I drew my own first comic book story, so there's a reason it was never published. She did a good job on it, and Baldemar's art doesn't hurt that story at all.
See, I like this. It's a horror anthology, so it's an anthology, so I'm definitely in. It's a horror anthology, so I'm double in. But it also is kicking it starting in October, which is like a layup, really, because that's, you know, for guys like us, we think horror stories all the time, but you know, there's that one market of people that, you know, that go to Walmart or wherever, and then all of a sudden the decorations are out and everybody's like, oh, well, that can go in my yard this year, and then we're thinking, oh, that can go in our office in our house,
right?
So is this gonna be,
yeah,
like an annual, or,
you know, if it's successful, and I think it will be, we didn't set the bar too high to be successful, and we got so many, so many talented people on it. So once it's done, and assuming it's a success and everybody has fun doing it, my plan is for a project like this to be, something I do roughly annually. And yeah, it seems like October seems like the right time to do a book like this.
Yeah.
So I'd love to do this a book like this once a year. My plan is probably in the next one, it will not be adaptations of my stories. And instead I'll let, you know, creators bring their own story to the book.
Okay.
Yeah. And tell their own, you know, their own tales. Mm-hmm. That way it doesn't, it's not just me looking at, you know, it's not just me asking people to write my, you know, versions of my stories. I'd like to see their versions of horror stories as well.
Right.
So yeah, I think, you know, I'm pretty confident in saying that it'll probably be an annual project.
And this is coming up right off the hot off the heels of Metro too.
Yeah. So I would love to run, you know, 3 Kickstarters a year. I think would be, it sounds like 3 or 4 sounds like a nice number to me. I already have the next Kickstarter that I'm going to run is already planned and in mind. I can't say much more about it, but it's going to be an exciting one too, I think. But, you know, I love that with Kickstarter, you can do books that, that may not be books you'll find necessarily wouldn't necessarily fit in a certain, you know, in a publisher's catalog.
Right.
And I like the idea of doing them. I think it's fun because these books become almost, artifact editions and collector's editions by their very nature. They're not, you know, they're not mass produced, and they're not going to be out for all, you know, forever. And I think I like that a lot.
Yeah. And the last time we talked, I told you, I think like in passing, that you need to step up your game and write more because, you know, you only had like 2 or 3 books out, and now you got those 2. You're still doing Dark Ark.
So many books.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. I was like, I was just joking. You didn't have to take me so literal. But,
and I think I told you even then, I feel like right now I'm not producing enough. I feel like I'm being lazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because you also have Witch Hunter coming out, which is a straight to hardcover for Aftershock, right? Which is the first one from their line.
Yeah, no, I know that it's a sickness in my, you know, there's something wrong with me. But I can't help but feel like I'm not doing enough. So, and to be honest, I hope that never goes away. I always want to feel like I'm not doing enough because it keeps me, it keeps the ideas flowing.
Keeps you on your A game, right?
Well, I don't know about A-game, but it keeps me going.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have Bone Parish and Cold Spots coming out too.
Yes.
Which have been awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I love doing these stories, and that's just it. Right now, I love what I'm doing, and when the day comes that I don't love coming up with multiple stories and making myself sick by being so busy, then I'll stop. But right now, I as stressful as it gets sometimes, and as many pages as I have to write this week, I still love it. So.
Right. So let's rewind back a little bit to Witch Hunter, since it's the first of the...
Witch Hammer.
Oh, Witch Hammer, sorry.
Yes, right. But it's a Battle Witch Hunter, but yes.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's what I was... Sorry. So right. Witch Hammer.
Yes.
Because it's the first of this direct to hardcover from Aftershock.
Yeah, no pressure from Aftershock.
Yeah. I mean, they just announced two more this past weekend at New York, so...
Yeah.
But what is Witch Hammer about?
So Witch Hammer is about a couple of federal agents who are investigating a series of murders. And these murders have one thing in common, and that is the people who are being killed are associated with witchcraft and covens and things like that. So it's about these agents trying to track this killer down and stop him from killing more of these people. But it's the kind of story that as it progresses, I think the idea of the hero and the villain and what makes, you know, the motivation of these characters and what makes them right or wrong will change in the reader's mind. And if I've done my job right, it'll change a couple of times. And I think it's a story that will get people, it could spark some conversations about what's right and what's wrong and who the hero is and who the villain is throughout the story over the course of this very violent, sort of dark crime story, with heavy supernatural. There are, you know, serious supernatural, angles to it.
Who's your artist on that?
The artist on Witch Hammer is Dalibor Talajic,
okay.
Who has worked with me a few times now in the past. He, we did Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe together.
Mm-hmm.
We did Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe again together, and then this was our opportunity to do a creator owned book together.
Okay, and it doesn't stop there, folks, because you have Blossom 666 coming out, right? Too.
Oh, yes. Blossom 666. I always thought, you know, who's a publisher I haven't worked with?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Archie Comics. They've given in and have decided to give me an Archie title to corrupt and destroy.
So it's part of their... After Dark line, right?
Yeah, it's one of the horror stories, just like I guess Afterlife with Archie or Vampironica,
right? Yeah.
Or those stories. This one's, you know, it's its own thing and is a, you know, it's a pretty... I'm excited about it. It's I've talked to Archie for years now about doing something with them, and I'm glad that finally this is the book that you know is my debut with them. It's It features the characters of Jason and Cheryl Blossom. And if you're not familiar with Archie Comics, Cheryl kind of came on the scene in the, I guess, early 90s, maybe?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, and she was always, in my mind, she was always Veronica's Veronica.
Yeah.
I think, you know, she's, you know, super sexy and everybody loves her and she's a bit of a troublemaker and her twin brother Jason's even more of a troublemaker. And sort of, they've always played in sort of this realm of temptation in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Riverdale, you know, TV series, Cheryl's sort of the scene stealer in that show. She's she chews up every scene she's in. But in this book, the Blossom twins have grown up, rich, popular, gorgeous, everybody loves them, And what we don't, what they know, but no one else knows, is that one of them is destined to be, dubbed the Antichrist. And, they don't know which one it is, and they're in sort of a weird competition to prove that they are worthy of that title. And, you know, hijinks ensue. So. So it's sort of a The Omen meets Cruel Intentions, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's a very dark book. In fact, I mean, the first outlines, they came back and said that's way too dark. I was like, all right, I'll dial it back a little bit before I script it.
Okay.
But it's gonna get darker. It starts pretty dark, and it's gonna get very dark. So.
And that's spring of 2019, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's in, you know, the first few issues are in production now, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think early 2019 or mid, you know, early to mid 2019.
Yeah.
I believe.
Maybe C2E2 time.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. That might be right around the time it hits out, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's not it, right? Because you have a Vampirella one.
Oh, yeah. Man, we haven't talked in a while.
No. Well, I mean, not yeah. about this, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Blackie Shepherd and I, Blackie I mentioned earlier for Graveyard Slaughter, we're doing a miniseries for Dynamite called Vampirella versus Reanimator.
Yeah.
Because why not merge those two properties into one crazy... crazy story.
Yeah. So is it a five issue or is it six?
I think Vampirella versus Reanimator is going to end up being a four issue series.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a four issue. You'd think I would know that, but I'm pretty sure it's four issues.
And like I said, you got Cold Spots still coming out. You have Bone Parish coming out.
Yeah.
And you have As Guardians of the Galaxy coming out.
Yep. And yeah, that's not, you know, believe me, just this week I sent several new pitches out to collaborators and publishers to see about making some other things happen. So it's hopefully the next time we talk, there'll be even more things to to discuss.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love seeing a whole bunch of new stuff coming out. And of course, you know, like Bone Parish and Cold Spots, I know I've said that title or those two titles like 60 times now, but those first couple of issues has really knocked it out of the park every time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think, you know, both of those books are, you know, they kind of, they're almost like sister publications, and then they exist in sort of similar worlds.
Right.
But yeah, it's I'm very proud of both of those stories, and yeah, I'm excited to see what people think about Bone Parish when it reaches its inevitable conclusion, and Cold Spots too. Although Cold Spots is one of those, it's a mini series, but mm-hmm. Mark Torres and I have always planned on it being the first in a series of miniseries. That the, you know, the world of Cold Spots gets bigger and bigger. So we definitely want to continue, you know, to broaden that story and tell more stories in that universe.
Yeah,
that'd or in be, that world.
Yeah, that'd yeah. be awesome. Because like I said, those two have been my favorite here lately, like top of the pile,
That's
would
awesome.
Say.
Do you read, all right, so when you say top of the pile, do you read your favorite comics first or last?
I mix it up, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because that way you don't want to end on a sour note or,
Right.
There isn't a comic that I've actually hated, you know, because I read comics because I love them. I don't want to read the best one last because then, you know, you have a month to go again.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'll be honest, especially there was a time where I didn't have a local comic shop and I was getting all my books from a mail order, a discount comic book service.
Right.
And so I'd get a huge stack of comics.
Yeah.
And I would organize them. And I, you know, part of the fun for me was I was organizing them into the order I thought would be the most fun to read them in.
Mm-hmm.
And usually my favorites were the last thing I'd read. I'd want to build up to it. But I don't think there's any wrong way to read comics. I don't know why I'm always so fascinated by the order people read their comics in.
Yeah,
but
we always talk about it like in our little Nerdy Legion chat. But we have one friend who reads his, because he does his books once a month or maybe every 2 weeks, but he reads them alphabetically. And I don't, I don't think I'm trained enough to read them alphabetically. Yeah.
I don't think that would work for me, but first of all, I can barely alphabetize the books on my shelf or the comics in my boxes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, what if X-Men you wanted to read first, but you had to get through everything else before that?
And what if it's a crossover and part, you know, you got to watch out for those pesky tie-ins and crossovers too.
Yep, that's true. So before we let you go.
Yes.
It is October, and it is Halloween. So do you have a movie or Halloween tradition that you do every year?
Oh, I have so many Halloween traditions. It's you know, last year we didn't celebrate Halloween. We celebrated Halloween, but not the way I usually do. Last year, my family was getting ready to go on a cruise. So we were in New Orleans on Halloween night.
Oh, wow.
Which was in itself just a really weird, insane, experience. And my friend Brian Quinn and co-writer on Metro, he was there and, we did like he's in a movie, called Victor Crowley. And they did a screening of Victor Crowley. And so that was really, it was sort of a cool moment. You know, riding around, New Orleans and then going to this old movie theater and watching, a screening of
Crowley
of Victor Crowley, with my friend who's in the movie. And as I'm sitting there, Brian says, "Hey, Cullen, I want you to meet somebody." And I turn and here's Kane Hodder, who, you know, has famously played Jason and plays Victor Crowley. And, you know, he comes in and he sits with us and we're all passing a bottle of bourbon around as we're watching this movie. And I'm like, that's a hard Halloween to top, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, you know, this year, you know, kind of back to the basics. Obviously I'll take my son trick or treating and all that stuff, but I always, every October I go to as many haunted houses as I can.
All right.
And many of my friends say that I'm too old to go to these haunted houses, but, I'm still going to do it. I go to as many in my town as I can. And then I'll go to, I'll go to St. Louis and I'll go to the big haunted houses there.
Right.
And, I'll do a bunch of haunted houses. And then I have been trying to watch, a horror movie a night. I don't always manage that, especially with being as busy and with CaveCon and everything that it kind of got a little derailed. But yeah, horror movies. This year I'm going to do a David Cronenberg thing. I'm going to watch as many David Cronenberg movies as I can. I think I'll probably watch, you know, I know I'll watch Scanners again and The Fly and The Brood.
Yeah.
And movies like that. For some reason that seems like the kind of thing I want to watch right now.
Nice.
Although my favorite, you know, and those are, you know, David Cronenberg is an amazing director and makes some amazing movies in general. Forget about, you know, whether they're horror movies or not. They're amazing movies. Mm-hmm. But I'll also, there's a certain kind of movie I like around Halloween time, and it doesn't have to be the greatest movie in the world. It has to have a kind of feel, and I want movies that have this, the feel of Halloween, you know, and, so I watched, Behind the Mask, which is the Rise of Leslie Vernon. There's something about that movie that feels right for Halloween, even though it's kind of it's kind of funny and goofy.
Right.
The movie Trick or Treat is a great Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Obviously. And movies like that just, that are loaded with jack-o'-lanterns and things and the tropes of Halloween. I'll definitely watch as many of those as I can too.
Yeah. One that I always watch, not like on Halloween night, but at least sometime, would be Monster Squad.
Oh yeah, Monster Squad's a great movie for this time of year.
Yeah, I love. Oh. I've loved it since it came out. So it's been.
Now, have you seen? I haven't seen it yet, and maybe it's not out yet. There's a documentary about Monster Squad.
I have not.
That's I can't remember what it's called, but the actor who played the lead in Monster Squad is doing it. Or did it. I don't think it's out yet.
Okay.
But there's if you're as near as I can tell, there's a trailer for it online, I believe.
Okay.
But if you're there's the name. I just looked it up. The name of the movie is Wolfman's Got Nards.
Of course it is.
Right. But it's just a documentary about Monster Squad.
Okay.
And I think if you're a fan of that movie, you should definitely definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm excited about it just because I love Monster Squad so much.
Right. Yep.
I would also be watching Phantasm this October, except I just rewatched the entire series a few weeks ago, so I can't count them as October movies. Although I did just rewatch all the Phantasm movies.
Right. Well, is there anything else you want to plug or get before we get out of here?
No, I just say, check out A Passage in Black on Kickstarter. That's the, that's the big thing right now, I think.
Yep.
That I really want people to check out. It's, if nothing else, you get to see a cool, cover that Kyle Strom drew of me, in sort of an unflattering picture of me, Kyle Strom drew. it's a very meta cover for the anthology.
Yep. And
you get to see, just check out some of this art because, these creators that I got on this book are not, they're not necessarily household names.
Right.
A lot of them, they should be. And I think they deserve more attention. And that's one of the things I'm most excited when it comes to this project. Is getting the attention to, getting some attention on some of these creators who really deserve it.
Right. And the stretch goals are awesome. And then.
Yeah. And, their stretch goals right now are awesome. And then we're going to be adding, we didn't launch with some of these, backer levels on there.
Right.
But we're going to be adding some original art backer levels in there. So, keep an eye on that because there'll be sketches available. There'll be original pages of art. There's going to be some really cool stuff in there that are like one of a kind pieces that you can get as part of this too.
Yep. And add-ons. Like there's a shirt.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a Passage in Black t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
If we reach a certain stretch goal, the book is a trade paperback. We reach a certain stretch goal. All the trade paperbacks are automatically upgraded to hardcovers. So, there's some neat things, in this project. I'm still getting my feet wet with Kickstarter and figuring out what works and what's, what people engage with the most.
Right.
But, I'm going to try some different things with this one and see what, what works and what people like.
Cool. I look forward to it. Like always, thank you for stopping by tonight and chatting with me about it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
I appreciate it.
I want to thank Ronnie for taking over hosting duties for me today. If you want to check Ronnie out, go check him out on the Absolute DC podcast, new episode out today. On the Aftershock Central podcast, new episode out today. Of course, you can find Cullen Bunn all over social media, books pretty much from every single publisher, and of course, Missouri Swagger right here on the Nerd Legion Network with Dennis Hopeless. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new one. You can get in touch with me at GeekFine. You can email the new email address, yell@comictalk.today. I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the next one.